Hello and welcome to the Sydney Institute podcast. The Institute is Australia's premier current affairs forum. Every week, contemporary political, social, cultural and economic issues are explored at the Institute through dialogue and discussion. This podcast was recorded recently at a members' forum in the city of Sydney. Thanks for listening, and for more information about the Sydney Institute, please visit www.thesydneyinstitute.com.au. We hope you enjoy this event.
Thanks, Jared. And thank you for coming, ladies and gentlemen. And could I acknowledge my parliamentary colleagues, my parliamentary secretary, Kate Lundy, and the member for Chifley, Ed Husick. Ladies and gentlemen, less than a month ago, millions of Australians celebrated our National Day. Amongst the most enthusiastic participants were our newest Australian citizens. 13,000 people from every corner of the globe passionately and enthusiastically took the pledge of commitment to this nation. Over the years, as a local councillor, as mayor, backbench MP and now Minister for Immigration and Citizenship, I've attended more citizenship ceremonies than I dare count. Over the years, they've served as a reminder of what I term the genius of Australian multiculturalism. I've seen people proudly wearing their national dress, clasping an Australian flag with all their might, with tears welling up as they promise to uphold our values and laws. It is this genius of Australian multiculturalism that I want to talk to you about tonight. It's fashionable around the world at the moment to declare multiculturalism dead, or to blame it for crime or terrorism. Germany's Chancellor Angela Merkel recently declared that multiculturalism in her country had utterly failed. This was in response to a book written by a member of the Bundesbank entitled Germany Abolishes Itself. British Prime Minister David Cameron's remarks have also received plenty of attention in Australia and abroad. Around the world, particularly since the September 11, 2001 tragedy, the question has been asked, does multiculturalism strengthen a society or does it weaken it? Australia, of course, has not been immune from these discussions. My argument tonight is that multiculturalism has, without a doubt, strengthened Australian society. But it is unique Australian multiculturalism, built differently to other models around the world. Australia and Canada are generally seen as pioneers of the world's multicultural policy, and we are. But there are some key differences in our approaches. There are even more differences between our approach and that of European nations currently struggling with these issues, which makes debates in Germany and the United Kingdom of limited value, in my view, for a consideration of our situation. To some, multiculturalism is simply a diverse population and a non-discriminatory immigration policy, but it consists of so much more. There are, I think, three elements which make up the genius of Australian multiculturalism. Firstly, our multiculturalism is underpinned by respect for traditional Australian values. Those who arrive in Australia are invited to continue to celebrate their cultures and traditions, not only within a broader culture of freedom, but more importantly, of respect. However, if there's any inconsistency between these cultural values and the values of individual freedom and the rule of law, then these traditional Australian values win out. They must. This has been the case since multiculturalism was introduced as Australian policy in the 1970s. One of my Labor predecessors as Immigration Minister, Al Grasby, put it well in his description of the family of the nation. And he said, in a family, the overall attachment to the common good need not impose a sameness on the outlook or activity of each member, nor need these members deny their individuality and distinctiveness in order to seek a superficial and unnatural conformity. The important thing is that all are committed to the good of all. But perhaps Paul Keating put it most eloquently when he said, multiculturalism imposes responsibility. He said, these are that the first loyalty of Australians must be to Australia, that they must accept the basic principles of Australian society. These include the Constitution, the rule of law, parliamentary democracy, freedom of speech and religion, English as a national language, equality of sexes and tolerance. With the unity of Australian society, this has been easier than, say, in the other country which pioneered official multiculturalism, Canada. The national consensus on our values and geographic integrity as a nation has meant that the fundamental underpinning of Australian values has been clearer than in Canada, where debates about language and the ongoing makeup of the nation continue. English is the national language here. It is used in our public and private institutions and to be respected, and the learning of English is to be encouraged. Related to this second element of the genius of Australian multiculturalism. Ours is a citizen-based multiculturalism. To enjoy the full benefits of Australian society, it is necessary to take a pledge of commitment as a citizen. This requires new citizens to pledge loyalty to Australia and its people, whose democratic beliefs I share, whose rights and liberties I respect, and whose laws I will uphold and obey. Now, in my view, this is the most beautiful citizenship pledge in the world. Other countries tend to have quite mechanical pledges, whereby citizens promise fealty to a monarch or a president, or simply to abide by laws. Australia's pledge symbolises much more than that. It recognises that although we accept the economic benefits of skilled migration in particular, we are not a guest worker society. Rather, people who share respect for our democratic beliefs, laws and rights are welcome to join us as full partners with equal rights. Perhaps this explains some of the emotion I've seen over the last 15 years as new citizens have taken their pledge, and also why Australia has one of the highest take-up rates of citizenship in the OECD. International examples from some countries in Europe, for instance, show that where people arrive from overseas as guest workers with little encouragement to take out citizenship, they have little incentive to become full contributing members of that society. This can lead to a complex and entrenched social cohesion dilemma. The third element of the genius of Australian multiculturalism is political bipartisanship, particularly at its creation. The first Australian politician to publicly refer to multiculturalism as an aspiration was Al Grasby, Immigration Minister in the Whitlam government. But it was Malcolm Fraser who, as Prime Minister, institutionalised multiculturalism as national policy. To look over Malcolm Fraser's 1977 speech to the Institute for Multiculturalism, for example, is to be struck not only by its eloquence, but also by its vision. So multiculturalism cannot be claimed as the exclusive child of either of Australia's two main political parties. This means that ideally it remains above the fray of the daily political football match, and leaders on both sides of the aisle can sing the praises of Australia's multicultural heritage and its importance to our future. I'm not sure if this will continue, but I hope that it does. I believe these three elements have not only made our multiculturalism the best in the world, but they have unquestionably strengthened Australian society. So whereas other countries may have had less than positive experiences, the Australian model of multiculturalism is different. I mentioned before the recent debates in Germany, for example. Australian multiculturalism is very different to the German experience, and frankly, there are few positive lessons to be learned from the German approach to these issues. Germany has had, for some time, one of the highest immigration rates in Europe, but it does not regard itself as a multicultural nation. Indeed, it has hardly regarded itself as a nation of immigration. When Angela Merkel says that multiculturalism has failed, she cannot be referring to the national policy of respecting the rights and cultures of immigrant societies while requiring respect for traditional German values of the rule of law and democracy. She cannot be referring to multiculturalism as we know it because Germany has never had such a policy of multiculturalism. In fact, a close reading of Angela Merkel's comments can be taken as an argument to move towards a more Australian version of multiculturalism. Germany has regarded immigration as an economic necessity. A requirement for guest workers has driven an economic immigration policy. Never has a German government proposed a policy of respect for existing cultures where they do not clash with basic German values. While Australia's post-war immigration policy was originally driven by economic imperatives, Australia's governments eventually came to recognise the societal benefits of inviting full community participation by our immigrant populations in return for a respect of and embracing of cultures and customs that have been transported here by immigration. One could argue that the large Turkish guest worker populations have not properly integrated into German society because, frankly, they have not been invited to. Similar arguments can be learnt from France. France has been bedevilled by ethnic tensions from time to time. In 2005, in the face of the spectre of widespread race riots, as Walid Ali has pointed out, France's resistance to a formal policy of multiculturalism has not encouraged greater integration of immigrant societies, but on the contrary, it has bred resentment, separatism and violence. Many countries in Europe have nations within nations, significant communities living parallel lives. Generation after generation has perpetuated a segregation from the mainstream based on ethnic, religious or cultural divides. This seems to me to underline the benefits of the Australian approach. Similarly, when David Cameron recently said he supports a muscular liberalism, he was, I would argue, advocating a more Australian version of multiculturalism. Consider this remark by David Cameron in his recent speech. He said, "I believe a genuinely liberal country believes in certain values and actively supports them. Freedom of speech, freedom of worship, democracy, the rule of law, equal rights regardless of race, sex or sexuality. It says to its citizens, this is what defines us as a society. To belong here is to believe in these things." His remarks are unexceptional in the Australian context. In fact, it reminds me of the quote I shared with you a few moments ago from Paul Keating. "Australian governments do not defend cultural practices and ideas that are inconsistent with our values and ideals of democracy, justice, equality and tolerance, nor should we be expected to. In embracing these values, we've tried to instill a sense of belonging in Australia while encouraging the participation of all people. As a nation, we pride ourselves on the way we've invested in the decent and fair treatment of new arrivals to our shores to help them find their feet. Australia's settlement services are world-leading. If values are not articulated and not put into practice, if people do not feel part of a society, this can lead to alienation and ultimately social disunity. In my view, the diversity of the Australian population has been of unquestionable benefit to us. It brings economic benefits and cultural benefits. Of our 22 million people, around 44% were born overseas or have one or both parents born overseas. As the Australian Multicultural Advisory Council has said, it brings innovation, ideas, skills, energy and achievement and makes us richer in all kinds of ways. Our migration program has increased our population and enabled Australia to draw from a broad range of skills and knowledge and enjoy a higher standard of living than we otherwise would have had. A 2008 study by Access Economics estimated that migrants who entered through the 2006-07 migration program would benefit the Commonwealth budget and broader economy by $707 million in the first year, growing steadily to $1.4 billion by their 20th year in Australia. When I was Minister for Financial Services, for example, I had the privilege of promoting Australia as a financial services hub. I found one of the best-selling points in New York, London and Asian centres is our high proficiency in Asian languages, telling financial houses in London, for example, that they could base their Asian operations in Sydney and have access to any number of Mandarin speakers was of unquestionable assistance. The diversity of our population has meant we better understand the world and better understand our region. This has meant, in turn, a heightened respect in our region. It seems to me that if you accept the benefits of a diverse population, then you have a choice. Do you respect, embrace and welcome the cultures of those you've invited to make Australia home, or do you shun them? Do you seek to invite full participation in Australian society of those who come here, or you treat them as guest workers and hope they integrate, while all along suspecting they won't? Multiculturalism is about inviting every individual member of society to be everything they can be, supporting each new arrival in overcoming whatever obstacles they face as they adjust to a new country and society and allowing them to flourish as individuals. It's a matter of liberalism. A truly robust liberal society is a multicultural society. To me, multiculturalism is a bit like marriage. It has its stresses and strains. It has its misunderstandings and miscommunications. We have to remind each other occasionally that we are better off with each other. It takes nurturing. It takes care. It is in that spirit tonight that I quite loudly and proudly proclaim that Australian multiculturalism has worked. That not only has Australia benefited from the immigration of those who come from diverse backgrounds, but we've also benefited from the cultures they've brought and sustained in this, their new homeland. We now live in a nation shaped by migration, one with broader horizons, open and tolerant, a nation that is more confident, more vibrant and more diverse. We recognise and celebrate different cultural heritage but insist that our future is common, is shared. This is the genius of Australian multiculturalism. During our multicultural journey, every wave of migrants has faced its own challenges. When I was growing up, for example, there was concern about Asian migration. Each generation expresses some anxiety about the new, the unfamiliar. Sure, the last lot turned out to be okay, they say, but this lot seems different. Will this wave of migration be good for us? In the age of concern about terrorism inspired by extremist Islam, it is perhaps inevitable that questions get asked about Muslim migration to Australia. In the context of 1.71% of Australian population identifying themselves as Muslim. It's important to be very clear here. Just like previous groups of migrants, the vast majority of the current group of migrants to Australia come here not to change our values, but because of them. The wave of Bosnian migrants in the 90s was fleeing religious persecution and intolerance. They came here not to force their beliefs on others, but simply to live in a country which embraced freedom and allowed people to practice their religions in peace. Similarly, many Hazara refugees come to Australia because they are driven out of their homeland by religious extremists who see them as not pious enough. Of course, if anyone comes here, or indeed if anyone who is born here promotes values such as Sharia law or religious intolerance or violence, they do not do so in the name of multiculturalism. Bearing that in mind, it's right for Australians to be concerned about extremism, whatever form it takes. Whatever the motivation or background, intolerant interpretations of religion do not align with Australia's values, principles or laws. As such, it is the role of government to ensure policies and programs are put in place to deal with and counter such extremism. But to cast all Islamic immigrants or all members of any religious group as somehow unworthy of their place in our national community, however, tars with the extremist views of a very few, many, and does injustice to all. It's counterintuitive to assume that the majority of migrants want to change Australia. Allegations of migrants wanting to come to Australia to convert the populace and turn it into a replica of their homelands ignore the truth. People come to Australia because to them, Australia represents something better. They bring their own unique stories and backgrounds to add to the mosaic of Australian multicultural society. But they come to live in accordance with the laws, values and institutions that have made Australia so attractive to them in the first place. They become because of what Australia is, not to change it into what they left behind. For those fleeing persecution, terror and hatred, they come to Australia in search of peace, justice and harmony. For many others, they come in the hope of creating in this new land a new life for themselves and their loved ones, for prosperity and the knowledge that in Australia their children will not be discriminated against because of their colour or their creed. For these men and women, the last thing they want is for Australia to change, to become less free, to become less democratic, to become less equal. If Australia is to be free and equal, then it will be multicultural. And if it is to be multicultural, it must remain free and equal. Last year, under the leadership of Andrew Dimitriou, the Australian Multicultural Advisory Council presented the statement, People of Australia, to the government to provide us with an opportunity to express our support for Australian multiculturalism. And thanks for coming tonight, Andrew. And it's in that vein tonight that I can release the government's response to the AMAC report and in doing so announce the government's new multiculturalism strategy. The government accepts in whole or in principle each of AMAC's recommendations. We will introduce a new independent advisory body, the Australian Multicultural Council, with broader terms of reference to succeed the current advisory council. The new body will act as a champion for multiculturalism in the community, will advise government on multicultural affairs, and will help ensure Australian government services respond to the needs of migrant and refugee communities. We will also establish a national anti-racism partnership and strategy to design and deliver that anti-racism strategy. While much good work has been done in Australia over the decades, we must continue to work to eliminate all forms of racial discrimination. This strategy will bring together existing expertise on anti-racism and multicultural matters from government departments, the Australian Human Rights Commission and the Australian Multicultural Advisory Council. Given the breadth of effort and the need for an increased focus on this new multicultural policy, I can also announce tonight that the Prime Minister has agreed to rename the position held by my friend Senator Kate Lundy to better reflect the focus of her duties. Once she's able to pay a visit to Her Excellency the Governor-General, Kate will be known as the Parliamentary Secretary for Immigration and Multicultural Affairs. I'd like to acknowledge Kate's work in developing this policy and the work she's done with the sector and the broader community since taking on her role. AMAC makes the point that the multicultural character of Australia is central to the Australian story. Governments should tell this story, and we agree. I'm not afraid to use the word multiculturalism. I'm proud of what it's meant for Australia and our way of life. One of the reasons I feel so strongly about the genius of Australian multiculturalism is that I've lived it all my life. I grew up in Fairfield in Western Sydney, one of Australia's most multicultural communities. I now proudly represent that community in our nation's parliament, and with my wife, we're raising our two children there. When I went to St John's Park High School, one of the nation's largest, the student body was drawn from over 100 nationalities, and the teaching staff came from over 50 nationalities. Now, I have to confess, when I was at school, I didn't sit around with my mates from Vietnam, Iraq, Bosnia and Croatia talking about the genius of Australian multiculturalism. We had much more pressing teenage matters to occupy us. But rather than philosophising about multiculturalism, we lived it. Just as millions of young Australians throughout our nation live it today. Different cultures are accepted, values are recognised, traditions and beliefs are practised. Foreign language substitute for English when the right word just can't be found. Freedom and tolerance are embraced. Some of the boys I went to school with came from countries that were at war with each other during the 1990s. They lived and worked together in Fairfield, with the occasional spirited verbal exchange, but almost in all instances peacefully. All in all, the tolerance which is part of the Australian multicultural heritage wins through. Australia's diverse immigration program has been to the benefit of both migrants and Australia. It is an indelible and irrevocable part of who we are, and without it, we would all be the poorer. The genius of Australia's multiculturalism is something we should recognise, embrace, and proclaim. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to the Sydney Institute podcast. This podcast is proudly brought to you through the support of Microsoft Australia. We hope you enjoyed listening and can join us again soon.